Blessings, everybody. This is Dale. I tell you what, at the time of this recording right here, we're doing episode number 2610, and it is the first day of January, first day of the year of 2024. And that is amazing in a lot of ways, probably for each one of us. Most of us will be listening to this sometime later, but it's just interesting to be up early on a cool day. And I'm actually in Alabama right now. Not a cloud in the sky, sitting on top of the hill at a hospital where I just visited a very dear friend, found out that he's in the hospital. And we spoke a little bit. He'll probably even remember I was here, but probably think that he dreamed it, you know, one of those kind of things. So just be praying for him. Just pray for our friend, okay? So anyway, we've been looking at the second psalm, and we've seen here that the nations and the people are plotting and raging against the Lord and against his anointed. And that the Lord just sits in heaven and laughs, and the Lord holds them in derision. And then verse 5 said this, that he will speak to them in his wrath and terrify them in his fury. All of these passages, all of these verses have many reference, cross-references to other portions of the Scripture, some in the Old Testament, some in the New Testament. For instance, when it says that he will speak to them in his wrath, this particular Bible that I'm reading from references over to Revelation 6:17. And that's when the Lord is returning, the mountains and rocks. The people of the world, the kings and princes, are calling from the mountains and rocks to fall on them and to hide them from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, because the great day of their wrath has come, and who can stand it? So it's literally speaking of the day of the Lord and the wrath of God and what's going to happen. And I think that's probably a good application. This is a foreshadowing of this. This passage speaks to the things that are happening in David's time, okay, and that David is the anointed of God. David is the one that God has placed there. But then the greater interpretation of this is that which is yet to come, okay, that which is yet to come, and that which will be fulfilled in the Son of God. Because, let's just pick up verse 5. Then he will speak to them in his wrath and terrify them in his fury, saying, as for me, I have set my king on Zion, on my holy mountain. So David, yes, was king at that time. And David acknowledged that. We see that in 2 Samuel, but also later on in another psalm, Psalm 110, David's going to talk about the king that's yet to come that will be on Zion, his holy mountain, the Lord Jesus. Verse 7, I will tell of the decree. The Lord said to me. So this is a psalmist. David is saying, this is what the Lord said to me. You are my son. Today I have begotten you. And we looked up these cross-references in the previous episode. The ones that in the New Testament interpret that right there to not only mean David. Yeah, David, God had put him in that place. But there was a far greater interpretation that it's the Son of God that would be begotten. The Son of God, particularly pointing to the resurrection. Verse 8, the Lord's still speaking and David's still giving this decree. Ask for me, and I will make the nations your heritage, the ends of the earth your possession. And we see this in other psalms, Psalm 72:8. It says, may he have dominion from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. Psalm 89, and I will make him the firstborn, the highest of the kings of the earth. And then Daniel 7 says this, 14th verse, and to him was given the dominion and glory and kingdom, that all peoples and nations and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed. And that's definitely speaking of Messiah, which is yet to come, who is the Lord Jesus Christ. But then we learn more about it. Verse 9 of Psalm 2, you shall break them with a rod of iron and dash them in pieces, like a potter's vessel. And so this breaking, and that word break literally means, and I love the way this happens sometimes. The translation here is break. But if you re-vocalize the Hebrew, in other words, if you speak the Hebrew in just a little different kind of way, the same letters and everything, but if you speak it a different way, it comes out and means you shall rule. You shall rule them with a rod of iron. And that's what the Septuagint says. And it's the basic idea, the way you go. Break sounds like you're defeating somebody. But with this, you shall rule. And then other scriptures say the same thing, that it is a ruling type of thing. It says, you shall rule them, shall break them with a rod of iron. You see the same thing in Psalm and in Job, with a rod of iron. And that rod of iron thing is picked up in Revelation, Revelation 2, Revelation 12, Revelation 19. Let me just read it. Revelation 2 says, and he will rule them with a rod of iron, as with earthen pots were broken, even as I myself have received authority from my Father. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ speaking of some things right there that's going to happen. Revelation 12, 5, she gave birth to a male child. This is speaking of Messiah. This is speaking of Jesus. One who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. But her child was called up to God and to his throne. Then it goes on the next verse. I know this just sort of whets our appetite, doesn't it? Then Revelation 19. From his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God the Almighty. So obviously it's speaking of a Messiah, of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what the Lord had revealed to David. Yeah, David ruled, David expanded. But here, this is something far greater that David is prophetically seeing and writing about. So verse 9 again, you shall break them with a rod of iron and dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. And Isaiah speaks of that bashing in the pieces, same type of thing Jeremiah does. Verse 10 now. Now therefore, O kings, be wise, be warned, O rulers of the earth. And I love this right here, because even when he's saying all this stuff about what the kings are doing, what the people are doing, he says this in vain, and he's giving them hope here. He's telling them, hey, be wise, be warned. In other words, there is a chance for you to change and not do this. Be wise, rulers of the earth. Be warned, rulers of the earth. Then he tells them what to do in verse 11, Psalm 2:11. Serve the Lord with fear. He says, instead of going this way and being against the Lord, rather than doing that, then serve the Lord and do so with fear. Okay, and this is the reference I got right here from this particular Bible, is Philippians 2:12. The one that talks about working out your salvation with fear and trembling. In awe and in reverence, serve the Lord. And not only that, but to rejoice. Rejoice with that trembling. That's what the Philippians is talking about. So he tells them, you have a chance here, guys. Serve the Lord with fear. Rejoice with trembling. Realize that, yeah, you're the king. You've been placed here, but boy, there's one much higher than you. And then this last verse, which we looked at a little bit, the kiss the Son, lest he be angry. Kiss the Son. And the idea being, hey, embrace him. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way. For his wrath is quickly kindled. And it goes back to the wrath that we saw earlier. And blessed are all those who take refuge in him. And there's tons of verses related to that blessing and taking refuge. So he's telling them what you need to do. You need to serve the Lord with fear, rejoice with trembling, but embrace the Son. Embrace the one that's to come. Yeah, embrace the one right now who is over you, the foreshadowing of the Son. Yes, embrace him, but embrace the one who is coming, O kings of the earth. Be wise, be warned. If you don't, it's not going to end well for you. Well, my time's up. Hey, again, it's Dale. Happy New Year to y'all, and I'll see you next time.